Okay, everybody. Once again, you're stuck with me for tonight. So we are going to Ezra Hashem try to finish up the piece we started in Bikvei Atzon the other night. The piece on Begidrei Hamedina Umel Chamoseha. I've got lots of feedback about this one. A lot of emails from people that are very happy that I'm sharing Rosh Hashanah's Torah on this, to people that are very upset about it, because after all, Rosh Hashanah is a Das Yachid, and Rav Soloveitchik didn't even hold like all the things that he said. So I was pretty clear, and one of the people who wrote the email said, you are very clear that you are just expressing Rav Shechter's opinion, and that you are not adding anything, and you're just quoting Rav Shechter, and that's all we are doing over here. So we are quoting our favorite grasshopper eating gadol, and that is it. I just got a voice note from a friend of mine. When you go to NCSY Kollel, I want a video of you eating grasshoppers. So locusts, whatever they were. So I said, I don't think so. So just to quickly recap what we said last time. First of all, we discussed how the idea that pikuach nefesh is docha every isra in the Torah, even destroying the mizbeach, even destroying the Beis Hamikdash, taking down the dvasos ha'echal, would be docha pikuach nefesh, if not for the fact that we had a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. So you'd think that pikuach nefesh should be docha our hold on Eretz Yisrael, that if Jewish lives are going to be threatened by fighting all these wars to maintain Eretz Yisrael, that pikuach nefesh would be docha all of that. So we said, no, you got to look at Pikuach Nefesh in a time of Muhammad very differently than you look at Pikuach Nefesh typically. Typically, you look at Pikuach Nefesh and one loss of life is everything. But Pikuach Nefesh in a time of Muhammad is very different, because it's built into the nature of Muhammad that there will be loss of life. And yet there's such a thing called the Muhammad. The Muhammad is Roshos and the Muhammad is Mitzvah. So we pointed out that the Medinas Yisrael has been Bishas Muhammad ever since 1948. There's never been a time of Shalom. And that's in that context we pointed out that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky passed in that way when it came to negotiating with the terrorists who were holding Rav Huttner's Zichron Levracha, that this is a Shas Milchama, even though it wasn't actively a Shas Milchama. And then we pointed out that when it comes to identifying a Milchama, you have to identify whether a Milchama is called a Milchama's Mitzvah or a Milchama's Rishus, because there are these two types of Milchama. Milchama's Rishus is when you get Rishus from the Urim Vitumim to go to Milchama. But everything else is a Milchama's Mitzvah, those types of wars that the Umos Ha'olam fight among each other are all Milchamos Mitzvah. Meaning, if we were to fight such wars for those reasons, they would all be Milchamos Mitzvah. So if we're attacked, for example, to defend ourselves is a Milchamos Mitzvah. And even if we're not attacked physically, but the Russians were to come and say, give us Washington, D.C., and we won't hurt it, we won't touch a soul, no one's going to be hurt by it, that's also Milchamos Mitzvah, to defend our land, because our land is our lifeline. It is who we are. And therefore, when assessing Pikuach Nefesh about Milchama, we assess not whether anybody will die. What we assess is, will we win or will we lose? So we have to figure out whether it's a winnable war. If it's a war that's not winnable, like in the times of the Churban, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was telling his nephew, what on earth are you doing by fighting this? You know that it's not a winnable war. And therefore, you have to sneak out to negotiate, so that if it's not a winnable war, you're not allowed to fight it. But if it is a winnable war, then you have a mitzvah to fight it. You have an obligation to fight it. So who gets to determine whether it's a winnable war or not? So so just like when it comes to pikuach nefesh of a yachid, the individual patient gets to determine how we define winning, meaning let's say you lose, rachmana litzlan, you lose 10 soldiers in a war, but you manage to hold on to a major chelik of Eretz Yisrael. Is that called winning or is that called losing? So who gets to determine whether that's called winning or that's called losing? So just like pikuach nefesh of a patient, where there are hard choices, you could live in pain for an extended for an extended period of time, or you could not be in pain and die in a shorter period of time. So what's called winning, what's called losing? That's up to the patient themselves to decide. So too, when it comes to Milchama, it's up to the patient themselves, so to speak, to Knesset Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, to describe. In this context, Klal Yisrael is made up of only those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not decided by a psak halacha of Gedolim or anything like that. just like a patient. There could have two patients with the same illness, and one of them says it's worth it to fight, and the other one says no, it's not. I'd rather die without pain. You don't look at which one is the bigger Talmud Chacham and say that the other one has to follow that same path. Every patient gets to make the decision. So the people who get to make the decision are the people that know what they're talking about, the military experts who understand whether it's a winnable war or not, and can express the das of the tzibur whether it's winnable. But what we're supposed to decide is not whether we think it's worth it, but it's whether it's winnable. And if it's winnable, then we have to fight it, then we have an obligation, then it becomes a milchemetz mitzvah. Then we moved on to discussion of what's called geula. How do we define what's aschalta de geula? So we pointed out that aschalta de geula is a concept lahalacha, that the Gemara Megillah says milchama nami aschalta de geula, and there's two nafkaminas lahalacha. One nafkamina lahalacha to aschalta de geula is that you're allowed to be koveya yom tov for aschalta de geula. That's how the Nesivos explains they were koveya the yom tov of Purim because they thought it was aschalta de geula. The other nafkamina lalacha, anyone remember what was the other nafkamina lalacha? Davening for the war to end. Are you allowed to daven for a war to end if it's aschalta de geula? You have to hope that it plays out and that you don't daven for it to end. So how do we define what's called geula? So that's also a Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, the Ramban al Torah tells us that Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, not because that's when we got out of Mitzrayim. We didn't even make it to Yisrael at the end of Sefer Shmos. It's called Sefer HaGeula because remember? Mikdash. Mikdash is the definition of geula. Good. Now I have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells me that Shalosh Mitzvos Nesavi Yisrael B'chinesas Ma'aretz, that there are three mitzvos we have to do when we come into Eretz Yisrael. Laham Lamelech, Lahachrizar Shalamalek, and Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira. So the first of that three-step process, which culminates in Beis HaMikdash, is Aschalta de Geula. So Laham Lamelech is the Aschalta de Geula. So we left off right around there. So let's pick up from that point, right? That was a basic summary of what we did last time. So let's pick up from that point. This idea of Laham Lamelech, the din of Laham Lamelech, the Ramban in his Hasagas to the Sefer HaMitzvos, in Hashmotas HaEssin, the Ramban has two sections to his Hasagas to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. One section where he says, Rambam, you counted mitzvahs that should not be counted. Most famously, probably, tefillah. The Rambam counts a mitzvah of davening every day. The Ramban says, what? There's no mitzvah to daven every day. That is, or really at all, no mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. At the end, everyone quotes that Ramban is totally off the page a little bit, but everyone quotes the Ramban as saying, the Ramban holds his mitzvah d'oraisa to daven based tzara. Not really. What the Ramban says is that there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. He says, if you insist that there must be, I'll tell you that it would only be Be'ez Tzara. But I don't think there is at all. But if you insist that there's got to be, then it would only be Be'ez Tzara. So that would be like one type of comment Ramban will have. That Rambam, you counted a mitzvah, doesn't exist. But then the Ramban has a whole list of mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot, and he has many more of those. Right? The Ramban, when you do all the math, ends up with like 620 mitzvahs, not 613. And that's his first hasagah on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, is who told you that there are 613? You have to listen to everything Uncle Maishi says, meaning it's not necessarily that there are 613 mitzvahs. One Gemara at the end of Makkah says that there are Taryag mitzvahs in the Torah, and all of a sudden everyone has to listen to it. Says the Ramban, he starts shaking up Ma'amari Chazal left and right, that this Ma'amari Chazal says that there are 500 mitzvahs, that one says there are 10,000 mitzvahs, that one says there are all sorts of Amar Chazal about how many mitzvahs there are. Who says there are 613? So in one of his comments, the Ramban writes, "Shenitztavino l'reshes haaretz asher nosan hakel yisal le'lavoseinu." We have a mitzvah to go l'reshes haaretz, to take back the land. V'lo nazva biyadu l'seinu min umos al'shmama. We can't leave it in the hands of another nation, nor can we leave it desolate. V'u'amr lehem v'harashtem es haaretz v'yashavtem ba. Psukim in Torah. How does the Rambam leave this out? So what the Ramban is identifying is really two chiyuvim that are included in this pasuk. Number one, the chiyuv to go into Eretz Yisrael, hakol malin Eretz Yisrael. Right, the Gemara at the end of Ksuba says that if a husband and wife have a disagreement about where to live, and the husband wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, he has a right to tell his wife, "We are moving to Eretz Yisrael," and they go to Eretz Yisrael. Strictly speaking, it's not always the wisest thing to do, but strictly speaking, he can technically he can technically do that. I once had a person come into my office crying, mamish crying. He said, when we got married, the deal was we were going to make aliyah. We were in it together. We were going to make aliyah, but then we got comfortable, and he's like, I'm dying to make aliyah. I'm dying to live in Israel. And my wife. And my wife just doesn't want to go. And I love her, but we need to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm in love with Eretz Yisrael. I need to be in Eretz Yisrael. Mom's crying late at night, crying about his inability to move to Eretz Yisrael. Hakol Malib, he said, what should I do? Is there any hetter for me to stay in Chutz Laaretz? So in the end of the day, it happened to be like the very next day, his wife said, you know what, we'll give it a 1-year try. We'll give it a 1-year try. And you know what happens when you give it a 1-year try, right? So there's no coming back. So they've been there for many years already. So anyway, going back to, so you have this, the Hakol Malin Eretz Yisrael. So that number one is to go to Eretz Yisrael. Number two, in that pasuk, the Ramban sees a chiv to establish a government when we go to Eretz Yisrael. So the reason the Rambam doesn't count it, right? You have to, what? It's a pasuk. How does the Rambam leave out this obligation to establish a government? So there is a sefer called Megillas Esther, which is a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. It was not written by a woman named Esther. Rosh Hashanah always uses that same line. It was not written by a woman named Esther. It was written by the son of a woman named Esther. And as he was going to print, his mother died, so he decided to honor his mother by naming his sefer after the mother. So it's called Megillas Esther. It's not the actual Megillas Esther. That's a different book. But this is a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos called the Megillas Esther. So the Megillas Esther says, yeah, you know why the Rambam doesn't count this mitzvah? Because it doesn't apply anymore. It applied in the days of Yeshua and David and Kol Zman that we were not sent into Galus. But once we're sent into Galus, we're not allowed to go back. We're not allowed to take it back. The Gemara Kesubah says, Gimel Shavuos. We have three Shavuos that was Shalom Nimrod Be'umos Lechus Lichbos Shazaretz Bechazaka. We're not allowed to go by force and take back the land. So we're not allowed to. So it's not a mitzvah that applies with Darus. And that's why the Rambam doesn't count, because the Rambam won't count any mitzvah that's not noheg l'doros. Says the Avnei Nezer, that does not make sense, because the Rambam does count trumos and maestros and chala. All of these things are only the Rabbanan b'zman hazeh. The Rambam doesn't count any mitzvah that's not noheg l'doros. All of these mitzvahs are not noheg l'doros. Meaning all these mitzvahs, Eretz Yisrael related mitzvahs, were d'oraisa when we had a mikdash, are only d'rabbanan now, are only going to be d'oraisa again when we're back in Eretz Yisrael. So don't tell me that he's not going to count the mitzvah of Yerushas Haaretz based on that. So what is pshat in the Rambam? The reason the Rambam doesn't mention Virashtamosa is because it's part of the mitzvah of Hamadas Melech. And the Rambam does count the mitzvah of Hamadas Melech. The Rambam quotes the whole Braisa in the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, meaning Melech is lav dafka, according to the Rambam. It doesn't mean a king per se, it means a government. And that's why it's part of Yerusha Saaretz. Because Yerusha Saaretz means you take control of the land. Taking control of the land means you govern the land. And in the Rambam's view, that's the same as Lama Lamelech. Because the mitzvah Lama Lamelech doesn't mean that you have a guy sitting on a throne with a crown on his head. The mitzvah Lama Lamelech means you establish a government. As we pointed out last time, when we started to point out, there are certain dinim of Melech that are certainly about the guy, right? That are certainly about the Malchus Beis David, and David HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech, and Skiel, whatever, all the dinim Melechim that we had, right? Rechavim, everybody, right? There are certainly dinim, the Sefer Torah that he has to write, the Lo Yarbelo Nashim, right? Certainly things that relate to a Melech. But there are other things that relate to a Malchus. The Yerushalmi, in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Maaser Sheni, writes, Am Rabbi Acha, Zos Amar Shebeis Hamidosh Asa Libanos Kodem Malchus Beis David. That the Beis Hamidosh is going to be rebuilt before Malchus Beis David. So the Kasha begs itself. How's it going to play out? Beis Hamidosh is going to be rebuilt before Malchus Beis David? Wait a second. We defined Geula as Beis Hamidosh. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there are three steps to Geula. New step number one, Lama Lamelech. Step number two, step number three, so Lama Lamelech is one. Binyan Beis Hamikdash is three. So how can the Yerushalmi say that Binyan Beis Hamikdash is going to predate Malchus Beis David? Elamai, it's going to predate Malchus Beis David. But Lama Lamelech doesn't mean Malchus Beis David. What does it mean? A Jewish government. You establish a Jewish government in the land of Israel. And that's it. That's Lama Lamelech. The Ramban in Sasagus Sefer HaMitzvos, in the end of Hashmata Salavin, writes, V'yeshli inyan mitzvah mistapikli, v'hu she'ir li she'mitzvah ala melech ala shofet, u'mi sha'am b'rishuso, lo'tziyam latzava b'mechamis rishuso mitzvah, v'yoshol b'rum v'tumim. The Ramban, when he starts talking about the idea of going to Melchama, he says, and who makes that decision? Look how he writes it. She'mitzvah al ha'melech, o ala shofet, u'mi sha'am b'rishuso. What's he describing? Different forms? Government. Different forms of government. And these are all melech. They all have a din of lahamda melech. Meaning all these dinim of lahamda melech apply to any Jewish government. So memela, the establishment of a Jewish government in the state of Israel, is a bechina of aschalta d'gula. Because the beginning of the tahalich, of the process that the first step of the process that will culminate in Binyan Beis HaMikdash is the Hamadah HaMelech, and that means to establish Jewish government. Now you understand the Gemara at the end of Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. The Gemara over there tells us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu that he's going to give his children Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'me'eda ki irashena. Right? With what do I know that they will inherit it? So the Pashtus is very difficult to understand what he's asking. What, you don't trust Hashem? In fact, there's a sheet in the Medrash that holds that because of that question by Eda, he was punished. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Yodo Ateda, ki geri yazaracha, that you're going to go into Galus because you're asking such a question. However, the Gemara says differently, that what he meant to say is, what zechus will they have in order to see to it, in order to ensure that you, Hashem, will keep your promise of bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. What zechus will Klal Yisrael have? Lashon Tamidu Rebbe Niyona is that's Lashon Tamidu Rebbe. Izu zechus yiskaimu lehem aftachosecha. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, kecheli agla mishuleshes, what zechus is it going to be? It's the zechus, ha? Karbonos. You'll have karbonos. That's how you can get it. So Avraham Avinu said, wait a second. Teinach b'zman she'beis hamikdashkayim. Zechus hakarbonos is only there when we have a beis hamikdash. B'zman she'ein beis hamikdashkayim matay aleihem, what's going to be when there's no beis hamikdash? So he said, don't worry, k'var tikanti lem seder karbonos. Kol zman she'korin ben malani aleihem, kilu makriv lefanei karbon. But don't worry, you can say karbonos every day. When you say karbonos, as if you brought karbonos, and that zechus of saying karbonos every day will bring you back into Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be the promise, the fulfillment of the Avtacha. This is one of the things Rav Shachter loves to say over. The Talmid Rebbe Niyona writes in Maseches Brachos, based on that Gemara Megillah, that saying karbonos every day is a din d'oraisa. Psukei Dezimra every day is a minhag. Karbonos every day is a din d'oraisa, the Rebbe Niyona writes. So he doesn't really say it straight out like that. What he says is, just to give a little context to that, Rabbeinu Yonah discusses, when are we allowed to say psukim bal peh? When are you allowed to say dvarim? You know, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to say. Gemara and Gittin tells us, you're not allowed to say dvarim shabal peh b'chzav, you're not allowed to write down dvarim shabal peh, and you're not allowed to say dvarim shabal peh. You're not allowed to say dvarim shemachzav bal peh. You're not allowed to say psukim bal peh. You always have to read it from somewhere. So when are you allowed to do it? So Rabbeinu Yonah is the Yesod. He says anytime you're saying psukim, and through the recitation of those psukim, you're fulfilling a different mitzvah, not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not only the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, some other mitzvah. Just by saying psukim, you're allowed to say those psukim bal peh. What's an example of that? Where do you ever say psukim that's a fulfillment of some other mitzvah? Oh, Kriya Shema is a great example. Right? Another example? Birchas Kohanim. Right? Birchas Kohanim. It's a mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And you're saying psukim. Right? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. And karbanos. Because of this Gemara. Bamei the Kirashena. You're going to say karbanos. So if you say psukim of karbanos, it's a fulfillment of bringing karbanos? It's a question someone once asked. Do we have such an idea? Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky, who was here the other day, once I met him on the street, he asked me like 12 different things, and one of the things he said was that, he said, do we have such an idea by other mitzvahs? Like, if I can't do lulav, can I just learn about lulav, and, you know, we say that Nisham Leparmas Voseinu? Or is it Dafka Din Kodshim? Is it Dafka Din Karbanos? So there are Mekomos Lekanu Lekan about that issue. But we have a Teferish Gemara about Karbanos. That's the way we do Karbanos, by saying the Karbanos. So says Rav Shechter, what you see from this Gemara is that the idea of the Bris Bein HaBesorim was that Klal Yisrael Bizoch and Eretz Yisrael al-Menas to build the Beis HaBechira. Right? Meaning the whole point is to get to Beis HaBechira, to get to Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Aschalta Degula is the process that brings us toward Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And that starts with the Jewish government in Israel. People sometimes don't realize how historic it is. Because you grew up with it. I grew up with it. We grew up with, Israel. There's a Jewish government in Israel. Except there wasn't for thousands of years. And we davened about it every single day. And there wasn't. And we kept on davening about it. So like, we don't realize like how major this is. It's just that, again, going off script over here, it always resonated with me. Some Rabbi J.J. Schachter once said, he said probably many times, he went to so he said, maybe you tell me you heard the Yerim say this, I'm sure also. He said that that we always imagined what Gula was going to look like. That Gula was going to come and there were going to be eagles that come down and swoop us up out of, wherever we are. What city is this? I don't know. Wherever we are in the. What?
Wurzburg,
right? They scoop us up out of Wurzburg and fly us and we'll hang on to the wings of eagles and fly us through the soul. And the Mishmish comes up in a Shemaim and that's Gula! We never imagined that it would be like this, you know, one step forward, two steps back, you know, this trudging process that goes at the pace that history tends to go. We never imagined it would be like that. So many of us are like, oh, this isn't it, because this isn't what I always imagined Gula would be. Or it's happening slowly, and it's just not the way we had imagined it. But maybe it takes time, and Rav Schachter will come back to that in a second. Rav Schachter, not Schachter, will come back to that in a second. Mechias HaMalek. So how do we do Mechias HaMalek? So the Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Malachim writes that we have a mitzvah saseh to destroy the seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael, Achrim Tachrimim. And the Rambam writes, Baru Kvar Avad Zichram. You're not going to be able to identify the Chivi and the Yevusi and the Girgashi and the, you know, you're not going to be able to identify those nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. There's Kvar Avad Zichram. And then in Halacha Hei, he writes, V'chein mitzvah saseh la'abed Zecher HaMalek. Shenemar Timcha Zecher HaMalek. And you know what the Rambam doesn't say at the end of Halacha Hei? Kvar Avad Zichra. He doesn't say, oh, by the way, we don't know who Amalek is anymore, so you can't do it. When it comes to the seven nations that are in Abinari Israel, where you have a mission to destroy them, the Rambam finishes off by saying, oh, we don't know who they are, so there's nothing to do anymore. Comes Amalek. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say Kvar Avad Zichra. So Salvechik famously said in the name of his grandfather, in the name of Reb Chaim, that ain't a not me Kvar Avad Zichram of the original Amalekim, but there's no such thing as Kvar Avad Zichram of Amalek. Because a Din Amalek is Nogaya to any nation that wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Reb Chaim added, someone added, the Yesh Omrim, B'Shem Agrach, B'Tosefes Nekuda Achas, some say Reb Chaim added, V'lo Yirei Elokim. That in order for a nation to have the status of Amalek, they have to have it on their national agenda to wipe out the Jewish people, and lo yirei Elokim, not be God-fearing. Which, by the way, if you add that last detail, it means that the Palestinians are not Amalek, right? Because they are yirei Elokim. It has to be that they're not religious, they're not yirei Elokim. But if they're a monotheistic people that are yirei Elokim, then they're not Amalek. But Amalek is someone who has on their national agenda to destroy the Jewish people and lo yirei Elokim. Rav Salvechik paskin la halacha this way, that the Germans are Amalek. That Germany is Amalek. And therefore you're not allowed to get hana from Amalek. It was a very difficult psak, and it was very difficult to accept and very difficult to believe that he even said it. You know, my grandfather, shall live and be well, receives a check every month ad hayom from the German government. They had reparations. They passed into law that they had to repay the Jewish people for all that they did to them. So my grandfather still gets a check from the German government. Rav Salvechik held, you're not allowed to cash that check. He's not allowed to get any hana from Amalek. And meaning la halacha, it wasn't a drasha, la halacha. What's the obvious kasha? What? Are they still considered Amalek now? Well, meaning they're paying back for what they did as Amalek, right? So, okay, good. That's fair. I thought the kasha is, if an Amaleki goes and mugs me and steals my wallet, but I happen to be a black belt, right? So am I not allowed to take back my wallet? It's mine. He took it from me. I'm just taking it back. These were money stolen from the Jewish people that they rightfully owe us. But okay, but Rav Salvechik, point is, it wasn't just a drasha. Rav Shechter said a lot of times people didn't know when Rav Salvechik was saying a drasha just as drush, and when he was saying a drasha that he held halach l'maisa. And he said this was the latter, not the former. This was something he held halach l'maisa. The Mabit in his Sefer Beis Elokim writes, and Yimosim Shiach, we're going to fulfill mitzvahs that we have not yet fulfilled, that you need a Mashiach in order to be able to fulfill, like adding 3 Ari Miklat and Mechias HaMalek, which we haven't been able to do yet because we're not able to wipe out HaMalek. And the Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Rambam that Kvar Ovid Zichron goes on HaMalek. The Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks about HaMalek, quotes the line of the Rambam of Kvar Ovid Zichron. So it sounds like the Sefer HaChinuch understands that Kvar Ovid Zichron goes on HaMalek as well. So that's a little bit strange. The Sefer Chemdas Yisrael points out that the Sefer Chinuch is very difficult, because from Lashon Ram Sefer Mitzvah sounds the opposite, that we haven't yet fulfilled Kimachom Chazecha Malik, because when we do, that will bring Geula, meaning that mitzvah is not gone. The Zayin, that's gone. We're not going to have that mitzvah back. Those nations are gone. The mitzvah Lachzar Shal Malik is still going to happen after Lahamad Melech, before Livin Lassan Beis HaMechira. Right? It happens in between. And that's what the Nesivos explains in his commentary to Megillas Esther, that in the days of Mordechai and Esther, what happened? They were Zoche to see Mechias HaMalek. And therefore their natural assumption was that they were on their way to Geula. They thought it was Aschal to the Geula. And therefore they made a Yom Tov. Because in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be Machra Zara Shel HaMalek. So just like establishing a Jewish government is Aschal to the Geula, Melchemes HaMalek is Aschal to the Geula, because both of them have to happen in order to get to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but all of that is very nice, but who's to say that this process won't be aborted? I mean, we can't even imagine the level of tragedy that would involve. It's unthinkable, the level of tragedy that would involve. But who's to say that we're not going to lose Eretz Yisrael? And then in 500 years from now, we'll get it back, and that's when the Geula will happen. Meaning, just because this is the process, doesn't mean that when you hit step one of the process, that it means, yeah, the process of scoring a run in baseball, right, is that you get to first base, then you get to second base, then you get to third base, then you get... So when a person walks, 4 balls, walks, right? So he's began the process of scoring a run, but the next guy can hit into a double play, and, you know, that's it. The process doesn't... You know, or the next guy can hit a home run, and then he'll complete the process, right? So how do I know that this process is going to be completed? The mushel is mine, although I kind of like it. Right? So how do I know that that this process is going to be completed? So, it's only going to be a schal to the gula if it's a chiyach sofa matchilasim, if we see that it actually turns out that way. So, Rav Shach points out, how do I know that Hakamas HaMedina, that happened in the year 1948, is going to bring about Pinyin Beis HaMikdash? Maybe we're going to have to chas v'chalila, return Eretz Yisrael, or lose Eretz Yisrael, and then a new Medina is going to come up, whenever. And that will be a schal to the gula. So, Rav Shach writes, it's Yadua, what Ramban writes in Sefer HaGeula, that the two tochachos in the Torah, Parshas B'chukosai and Parshas Kisavo, are mechuvan keneged the shnei churbanos. Right? You have 2 times tochach in the Torah, 1 time keneged churban bayis rishon, and 1 time keneged churban bayis sheni. But there's not going to be a churban shlishi. Says Rav Shechter, that does not only mean there's not going to be a destruction of the third base hamigdash, it means there's not going to be a churban hamedina a third time. Whoa, where do you get that from? So it's Mufurish in the Ramban al the Torah and Parshat B'chukosai, where the Ramban shows that Tocha and Parshat Kisavo is going on Churban Bayesheni, and it doesn't mention over there the Mikdash, the Reich Nichoach, like it does in B'chukosai. In Kisavo, because the second base of Mikdash was a shell of the first base of Mikdash, they said that after Golos Bavel, all the people who came back that remembered as children seeing the first base of Mikdash were like, you call this the base of Mikdash? You know, this is nothing compared to the first base of Mikdash in terms of the daily miracles and things like that. So it wasn't, it was a shell of itself. So the emphasis in the second Tocha is not even on the Churban HaBayis, because the Churban HaBayis was not, if you could say such a thing, as big a deal. It was an emphasis on Churban HaMedina, So the Ramban points out the second Tocha is not about Churban HaBayis. It only talks about Churban HaMedina. So it turns out that the Haftacha, that there is no third Tocha, means you won't even have a Churban HaMedina the third time. But didn't it happen once? Bar Kokhba led a rebellion, and that started a Jewish government, and they even minted currency, and it was a government for a very short period of time. And then he lost. So Rav Shachter points out that in history, there's a difference between a failed rebellion and a government that has fallen. What do we call it? The Bar Kokhba rebellion. Because that's what it was. It was rebellion. It wasn't an actual Medina. But when Medina is established in 1948, even in the slow path of history, the way history goes, and we're already in 2022, it's not the Jewish rebellion. There was a Jewish Medina. It's part of the United Nations. It's the only thing the United Nations ever did that's worthwhile. It's part of the United Nations. It's a cheft. It's a Medina. So that we have a guarantee that there are only going to be two tochas, there are only going to be two korbanos, not a third. Now, if we assume that Medina Yisrael is considered bibinyana, so then we know there's not going to be a third korban. So and that would therefore mean that the hakamas of Medina was the schal to the gula. But is it bibinyana? Is Medina Yisrael right now considered built, or is it korbana? What would determine whether it's called Bibinyana or Burbukhurbana? So he says, you look in the Poskim, and the Poskim discuss this question. Why is it important for Poskim to discuss whether something is called Bibinyana or Bichurbana? Where does it come up? What? Haro Ari Yehuda Bichurbana, Teres Kriya. But if you see the Ari Yehuda Bibinyanim, you don't tear Kriya. So Mikdash Berchabanu, that for sure we see, right? You go to the Kotel, you see beyond the Kotel, that's Mikdash Berchabanu. It could be very beautiful, a lot of gold on the dome or whatever, that's Mikdash Berchabanu. But is it Ari Yehuda Berchabanu? Among Navram writes, Ari Yehuda Berchabanu in Korea, even though there are Jewish people living there, because the Umos are Moshalanit. Because it's a non-Jewish government running it, that's called Churban. So Magen Avraham writes in the beginning of Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph that the Geder of Binyan versus Churban is it Tachas Shilton Memshalas Yisrael or Memshalas Umos HaOlam? And as long as under Memshalas Yisrael, that's called Churban. Hu Adinami, as far as Eretz Yisrael Bibinyana. So long as it's under a Memshalas Yisrael, that's called Bibinyana. Churban HaAretz, in the halachic context, is connected to Churban in a physical context. The Torah says in Parshat Kosev, Hashimosi ani asaris, v'shamu alel oivechem ayoshem ba, that calls man that Eretz Yisrael is not in Jewish hands, it's in a state of physical destruction. The Navi Yecheskel says, atem hare Yisrael anvchem tidu prichem tisu la'am Yisrael kikarv lovo, kinni aleichem p'nisi aleichem v'nizratem v'noshva arma v'acharevus tivnena v'alachti aleichem adam esama Yisrael v'yirshucha v'yisalem l'nachal v'losos v'ol d'shuklam. The Gemara Sanhedrin says about this pasuk that ein l'cha keitz megula mizeh, that when there's no more physical destruction and the land is giving anfeim upriem, it's growing trees and fruits to Am Yisrael, that's the greatest simen of the fact that it's under Memshalas Yisrael. Meaning, the Navi is telling us that there's a mirror image. That if you want to know, is there a Jewish government in Israel? The Navi is promising us, you'll be able to just look at the land and you'll be able to tell. Which is an amazing thing that we've seen, right? The way the land looked when we got it back in 1948 is not the way the land looks now. If you want to know whether there's Jewish government there, you could just look at the land, will tell you. Look at the land and see if it's Bibinyana. And if it's physically Bibinyana, that's a simon mufak that there's Jewish government. And that's in fact what we have. And Rav Shachter writes in this piece, in the last 50 years, now way more than 50 years, the Navi told us about this. So based on the Avtacha of the Navi, we can know that in 1948, we have a Schalta de Gula. Then he tells a story, he says that when Melchemet HaShikrur broke out in 1948, the Brisker Rav wanted to leave Yerushalayim and go to Switzerland because it was dangerous, right? It was a Melchema. So Rav Herzog, Zichron Bracha, came to fight with him about it. How do you leave Eretz Yisrael? You know, how can you? He says, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have Kabbalah Yesh B'Yodeinu, that there's not going to be a Churban Shlishi. Meaning the Rav Herzog made this argument. There's not going to be a Churban Shlishi. Kabbalah Yesh B'Yodeinu, there's not going to be a Churban Shlishi. What are you running away for? So the Brisker Rav says, yeah, Kabbalah Yesh B'Yodeinu, but I have a Kabbalah from my father that when they shoot, you run. Meaning, so Shachter, being Doresh Sichas Chulin Shel Tamid Chacham, says, what he meant to say is, Ein Achinami, we have a Kabbalah like that. That's the Avtacha of the Navi. But there's no personal Avtacha that you're not going to die. Meaning there's Avtacha of the Navi that, you know, we're not going to lose our soul. But when they shoot, you run, because you still might die in the process. So that's why I'm going to go to Switzerland. I don't know if you know. So he wanted it, but I don't think he ever did. What about the Gimel Shavuos? Doesn't the Gemara say at the end of Ksubas that one of the things that we're not allowed to take over the land by force? So, so the Megillah Esther says, yeah, in Achinami, we're not allowed to establish a Jewish government until Mashiach comes. And the Satmar Rebbe writes in his Sefer Al-Gula Ve'al-Tmura that that's based on that chiyuv of not taking over the land by force, we have to be mevatel the entire Medina. We have to give it over to the United Nations and say, do with it as you please. We're leaving. That's the Pesach of the Satmar Rebbe, right? That we'd have to leave. Tell the United Nations, we're out of here, we're vacating, and you just do with it as you please. And then they'd give it to the Palestinians. But la halacha, that's not true, right? Meaning we don't assume that way. Why? First of all, many, many achronim point out a lot of reasons why Hakamas of Medina in 1948 was not a violation of one of the shvuos. Rav Aviner has a whole country called Shelo Yalu B'choma, where he goes through all of the answers. It's like one of those questions that have 100 answers, you know? Like, there are a lot of reasons. Furthermore, after the Balfour Declaration was signed, the Or Sameach at the time, Rameir Simcha, said, Sar Pachar HaShavuos. We no longer have to worry about the Shavuos, about the Gimel Shavuos. Because Gimel Shavuos was that we're not allowed to go take it over by force. Once the Balfour Declaration was signed, it was a statement of intent to give us a land. So if the Ummah Solom want to give us something, we're under no obligation to say no thank you. So, and that was the shita of Rov Chachmei HaTorah at that time, that once the Balfour Declaration was signed. But even leaving all that aside, let's say we violated the Isser. Let's say there is such an Isser of Le'al B'chom and we violated it in 1948. Does it say anywhere in the Gemara that you need to then undo it? That you need to then give it back? It doesn't say that anywhere, that you have to give it back. To give it back to England or Turkey or whatever, or to the United Nations. The whole pilpul about the Gimel Shavuos was Meikara. That's what the Stipler writes in Karina Digrisa. That the Iker Taina of the Satmar Rebbe is Einu Muvan. The Stipler says that it doesn't make any sense. Because the whole Taina was L'chachila Dika Taina, but we're in a Matzav of B'diavad already. So it's not Mistabra to discuss the Gimel Shavuos anymore. Satmar Rebbe wrote a lot about it. You can't be a good Zionist unless you read Vayol Moshe, right? Because you got to know the other side, right? You have to. The Satmar Rebbe writes in Vayol Moshe. I read Vayol Moshe. The Satmar Rebbe writes in Vayol Moshe that he has 180, I think it was 180, maybe 186 or something, proofs that we're not allowed to have a Medina. And he said, the reason I brought 180 proofs is because you might say that one proof is no good, another proof is no good. But it's impossible that I bring you 180 proofs and none of them are good. And you only need one to be good. Okay, so you read them, see if any of them are good. How do we determine Malchus Yisrael? So a lot of the Miyaste HaMedina, a lot of the people that started the Medina, were Sone Hadas. They were, you read the history, there were some awful things that were done by the government in the early years especially, about religion. So there are those at Taina that this isn't a Malchus Yisrael at all. How could you say it's under Memshelas Yisrael? This is a Goyish government, you know, with a blue and white flag. Right? What makes it a Jewish government? So Rav Shachter points out The Gemara in the Sechs Rosh Hashanah is Mechalik, the Rosh Hashanah for Shtaros, for how you mark Shtaros, that Rosh Hashanah L'malchi Yisrael is Zechar B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'malchi Yisrael is Zechar B'Tishrei. And the Ran writes, the Ran on the Rif, that that's a halacha, it's not a minhag. That from the Pasuk of Echad Shalacham Rosh Chodashim, we learn that Echad B'Nisan Al Pidin is the Rosh Hashanah for Malchi Yisrael. So the Netziv explains why. So he says, Kodesh Baruch has two ways of running history. Kodesh Baruch is the hand that guides history. There's a Hanhaga Tivis and there's a Hanhaga Nisis. There's a natural and supernatural way. History of the Umos Olam is always through natural means. Chukei HaTeva. That was B'sheshes Mei Bereshis. That's Yom Haras Olam. That's Echad B'Tishrei. And however, history of Klal Yisrael is L'mayla Min HaTeva. So Nisan is the day that is the Chodesh HaNisim. That's the time where we have Nisim. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin Ligoyal. So Malchi Yisrael have the Echad B'Nisan. Because Malchi Yisrael run L'mayla Min HaTeva. So it says Rav Shechter, the Gemara's mashma that it's not a din between, it's not a chiluk between Malchei Yisrael who observed Torah mitzvos versus, let's say, Achav HaRasha, who's Novid Avodah Zarah, that was Chotei Umachti Asarabim. He's still called Malchus Yisrael. And who Adin Benidol Didan? Who Adin over here? A Memshalas Yisrael is called the Jewish government. And Mela will turn out that it's still called Bibinyana. But we've already returned parts of Israel at different times, and people had to abandon their homes. L'chora, that's Churban HaMedina. No, that's not Churban HaMedina. That's loss of certain pieces of the Medina. But there's no guarantee that we're not going to lose certain pieces of the Medina. There's a guarantee we're not going to lose the Medina in its entirety. Kvar ein lanu avtacha shloya ba'asid eiza hechrich kfiya chalila lafkiya memshalteinu mimena. We don't have any source that tells us we're not going to have to abandon certain pieces. Ulamas b'dei acherim. V'yitachan ulai shiya chalila hechrich lichbosh asir etika odapam b'kdei livnos b'as mikdash. Says Rav Shechter, you know, it's even possible we're going to lose. Hard to even think of it. But then we're going to lose the Eretz Yika again. And then we'll have to conquer it again. The Kibush Yerushalayim in Tavshin Chavzayin in 1967 is not necessarily Eschalt Ligula. That Chaps Big Nafkamina. Because what Rosh Hashanah goes on to say, and we're not going to have time to go through it, we're still a few pages short of the end, sorry. What he goes on to say is that Eschalt Ligula, I'm sorry, is that we said before that when it comes to Eschalt Ligula, you have a right to be Koveh Yom Tov. But you don't have a right to be Koveh Yom Tov on something that's not Eschalt Ligula. So it would turn out, Yom Atzmut, yes, Yom Yerushalayim, no, as far as Kviyas Yom Tov. Because the conquering of Yerushalayim is not necessarily Eschalta Degula. We hope it is, but it's not necessarily Eschalta Degula. We hope it will reveal in history that that will be the path. So anyway, so still a little more to do. It's a long piece, but I figured I'll at least wet your palate a little bit, and you can take a look at the rest of it. I don't think we're going to have another opportunity to go through the rest of it. Okay, love Marv.